KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. At the 2016 Democratic National Convention, a Muslim American, Khizr Khan, addressed the audience, and he held up a copy of the Constitution and criticized how then-candidate Donald Trump spoke about Muslim immigrants.
Have you ever been to Arlington Cemetery? Go look at the graves of brave patriots who died defending United States of America. You will see all faiths, genders, and ethnicities. You have sacrificed nothing and no one.
Then candidate Trump lashed out at Khan after that speech, and Khan is a Gold Star father. His son, Captain Humayun Khan, was killed in Iraq by a suicide bomb attack. He joins us now to discuss his new memoir, An American Family, and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Pleased to have you here, and that was dramatic and poignant. Many people remember it, and I remember thinking when now President Trump lashed back at you and talked about his sacrificing, I must confess I wondered, what was it that he felt he sacrificed? You must have the same question in your mind still to this day, probably.
Well, that was proof to us that the person lacks empathy and caliber to understand such sacrifices and what prepares these young men and women when they take the oath to defend the Constitution and then they stand in defense to the last moment of their life. That sentiment is beyond the realization of Donald Trump.
Let me first of all say how sad I am for the loss of your son, who from every account was a hero, was an amazing young man.
Well, he was a replica of Ghazala and his mother, my blessed wife. And we were blessed to have him for 27 years, and that light continues to shine. Both of these books, the proceeds from these books are dedicated to a scholarship that we have established at University of Virginia titled Captain Humayun Khan Memorial Scholarship. We just received a card from the first recipient of that scholarship, among other sentiments that recipient expresses, says one sentence that means so very much to us, says, "Thank you for making university education possible for me." That scholarship is in perpetuity, so some good continues to come out of that blessed 27 years.
Well, what comes out in your book, I must say, is not only a great belief in education. I mean, your family is very dedicated to it, but also in this country and in the Constitution of this country and a love of country. The values of family, the values of education and U.S. ideals are very strong, obviously, in the fabric of your family. And I must ask you right away, particularly in light of the Supreme Court decision essentially being held up now, most recently in the news, and President Trump sending out these retweets from England First, which are, by any category, easily condemned as Islamophobic. How you remain, and you talked about this being the darkest period of U.S. history, how you remain faithful to the idea not only of the Constitution and America as a patriot, but you have said that you would give up 10 of your sons if you had 10 sons for America.
Yes, yes. My love affair with the Constitution of the United States, when we use these words, Constitution, Bill of Rights, in fact, what we are talking about are the human dignities, these freedoms that are enshrined in these documents. So my love affair with these documents started in 1972 when I was a second-year law student in Pakistan. I have lived, the reason I'm so passionate about these dignities enshrined in our Bill of Rights, I have lived under two martial laws. I did not have the right to come out on the street without the permission of the government. I could not read the newspaper or buy the newspaper. Newspapers were the enemy of the leader. The free press was considered that they create trouble. They are no good. They are fake media.
So we're hearing now from the Oval Office here.
Fake media. And the second thing, the dictators and autocrats do not like is the rule of law. Judges are so-called. They don't do any justice. They're nuisance. Let's remove them. I will decide how these things will be decided. So coming from that background, I remember, and we explain all that story in the book in great detail, that the day I became citizen of this country, I paused before entering the federal courthouse where the oath was to be taken, and I paused for a moment intentionally to remind myself where I was coming from, without any dignities, without any guarantees of my rights, and what is about to take place, that I am about to become citizen of the United States. I entered the courtroom and I take the oath of the citizenship, among many others. And a certificate is given. It's printed in green ink and it says Certificate of Naturalization and Citizenship. I looked at that certificate when it was handed to me. To my eyes, those words were not citizenship or naturalization. To me, those words were human dignities. That now I have those dignities that I had only read on pieces of paper. And today I am fully entitled to those protections and those guarantees of First Amendment and 14th Amendment remain my favorite amendments, favorite part of the Declaration of part of the Bill of Rights. And I launched an exercise a few years ago to compare U.S. Constitution with the constitutions of rest of the world. No other constitution on this planet Earth says those five words of the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law, meaning that the supreme legislative institution of this nation is being forbidden. You cannot touch these dignities of freedom of press, freedom of religion, freedom of to practice religion or not practice any religion.
So forgive me, how do you respond, though, to the fact that the Supreme Court makes a decision based on the Constitution to keep the immigration ban?
Sure. This anomaly is momentary. This anomaly, our Constitution, our republic has gone through many difficult times. And a scholar was telling me that there had been times in the past, we just celebrated 230 years of our Constitution. There had been in the past where the unity, where the existence of our republic was in danger. First was at the inception, it was thought that, oh, this union will not last too long. This will disintegrate and all. We survived that moment. And then the second and most dangerous moment was moment of civil war, that this union will dissolve and will not. We survived. We survived stronger. And so this momentary anomaly that is taking place in the United States today, it is momentary. We will survive. The goodness of this country, the human dignities that are enshrined in our documents will prevail. These momentary anomalies are only momentary.
Well, you wanted to give Donald Trump a copy of the Constitution. You also wanted to take him through Arlington.
That offer still remains.
How did you feel when Charlottesville occurred? I mean, because that's right, your home base, isn't it?
I was there on 12th of August, and I was there on 13th of August. Then I was there on 15th of August, that most of the world does not know. With my own eyes, I watched that ugliest march full of hate and division that came to Charlottesville from outside. And on 13th of August, my daughter, I call her, out of affection, I call her my daughter, Heather Hare, was murdered by a car driver that came from elsewhere to Charlottesville to harass the community, to attack the community. But then on Wednesday night, Charlottesville decided that we will show our children what true America is. Families, without any announcement, without any publication, just word of mouth, thousands of families came on the streets of Charlottesville, same route where that hatred, that neo-Nazi flag was on display, with children in tow, families in tow, candles. We walked, we went to the blessed sacred grounds of University of Virginia. We stood there so that our children can feel that this is America, not that attack that took place on Friday and Saturday. So it is that that gives me hope that the majority of this nation is very much aware of this anomaly that is taking place. And division and hatred is a defeated mentality that had been defeated in the world before.
We're talking with Keyser Khan, author of An American Family, a memoir of hope and sacrifice, and the father of slain soldier Humayun Khan. And he'll be speaking at GLIDE tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. And also speaking with you if you would like to join us and you have questions or comments from him, we invite you to do that now. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. And you can join us at that number, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. Again, the number to call, 866-733-6786. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website and posting questions or comments there at kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. John McCain was a hero to your son, and Donald Trump called John McCain a loser because he spent time in a prison camp. Well, when you put this into perspective, I mean, can you put this into perspective?
No, not at all. This is a lack of empathy, lack of leadership, and it is on full display now. John McCain, we pay tribute to him because he had been hero to Captain Humayun Khan, and the last book that we sent to Captain Humayun Khan in Iraq, that he read it and then his colleagues also read it, was John McCain's book, Why Courage Matters. And that was the book that Humayun had liked the most. And it prepared him to be faithful to the oath of office that he took. And it wasn't his time to come on duty on 8th of June in 2004, and he came just to make sure that everyone is safe at the gates of camps in Bakuba, Iraq. And he saw that fast-moving car coming towards the gates where dozens of soldiers, American soldiers, were having breakfast behind the wall alongside the gates. And there were scores of Iraqis that were assembled at the gate to come inside the camp to do the work. And he saw, he must have realized, we are told by his commanders and those who were present there, that he must have realized the risk. So he told everyone, and he could have done exactly the same thing himself. He said, he literally shouted, hit the ground, and everyone went down and hit the ground. And he, instead of doing exactly the same thing, he extended his hand. He must have realized the danger that this car is going to...
it was a taxi, I believe.
It was a taxi, yeah. Yellow taxi. And he extended his hand and he took those tennis steps trying to stop it. He was able to stop it prematurely. They detonated. That day only one American soldier died, and that was Captain Humayun Khan. But dozens of American soldiers were saved. We received pictures and photos of their families. They are still in touch with us. And they write every year around Thanksgiving, around Christmas time, that look how our children are grown. We are enjoying raising them and being with them and all that. And this could have ended on that day if Captain Humayun Khan would have not taken those tennis steps. So he must have learned something from John McCain's book, Why Courage Matters.
As I said before, your son was a hero, but also there was a lineage here, and you write about in your book your own grandfather and the things he taught you and the values he taught you in Pakistan. I've got a listener, though, who wants to know, and I'd be interested in what you have to say to him. This is Dan, who says, Mr. Khan must meet other Gold Star parents from time to time who are very supportive of Donald Trump and engage him. Can Mr. Khan tell us something about what those conversations are like?
Wonderful. We have, all of us are of equal dignity and equal rights to choose our leaders, our preference. There is nothing wrong in supporting whoever we wish to support. We don't support him, and the reasons are obvious, and we have had those conversations. We conduct those conversations in the spirit of democracy, which is civility. We listen to one another and with the utmost respect, and we grant each other a space to express ourselves, and we are allowed to say our piece, and they are allowed to say and hold their perspective and their point of view, and we respect that. That is democratic tradition. We don't wish to shut off those who do not agree with us.
Your son did not agree about the Iraq war.
Exactly. And he said to me when we had this conversation, because I had been proponent of that America's interest is not being served in Middle East by such an engagement. And he told me, he said, Father, I am a military officer. I have taken the oath to defend the Constitution. I don't think that way. I follow the orders, and I will continue to be faithful. I am going there to protect those who are given under my responsibility, my men and women, and I will continue to do that. And we yielded.
Talking to Khizr Khan, he's the author of An American Family. Let me bring some of our callers in here, and we go first. David, to you. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm a vet, and I would like to express my really sincere beliefs and love of what Mr. Khan has gone through and what he is currently dealing with. And I would also like to say that our draft dodger in chief has, as far as I'm concerned, has no idea about anything at all concerning the military.
Well, you know, David, President Trump is on record as having said that his personal Vietnam was worry about sexually transmitted diseases. I believe that is accurate, and I believe that's correct. But you're right, he never did serve in the military. And again, he lost a brother to alcoholism. But what his sacrifice was to this day, you know, is mystifying to me. Thank you, David, for the call. You did get, and some of the letters you got are very moving and stirring, which you include in your book, people who felt like David did, very aligned with you and very sympathetic. And yet there was ugliness, too. You chose not to write about it.
Yeah, we don't talk about that because that is so little, that is so small. There are thousands and thousands of cards, letters, words of encouragement, words of condolence and sympathy. And then there is some ugliness as well. We can tell the letter that this is not worth reading. This speaks volume of the cowardice, those who write ugliness, un-American hate towards us. They don't put their return address on the envelope. They don't sign their name when they send us an ugly message. We hand it over to others to process and keep track of why this is going on, because some of these letters are out of ignorance, not realizing that it is illegal to send such messages via U.S. Postal Service. They don't realize that, and it is trackable, and the law enforcement does track, and they have the ability to track these things, but we ignore them. There is a letter that sits on our table among thousands of letters, which has given me courage and ability to continue to speak. Is 26-page letter written by a veteran nurse of Second World War, and she says in 25 pages she explains her story. Then on 26th page she writes, so Mr. and Mrs. Khan, continue to speak.
Khizr Khan is our guest.
Had more people spoken before Second World War, we could have avoided the atrocities that have been committed against our Jewish brothers and sisters, against the mankind. So continue to speak.
I can hear it in your voice. It still inspires, still inspires you. Let me bring another caller aboard here, and that's Robert. Robert, join us.
Right. You know, Mr. Khan came from Pakistan. You know, come into the United States and badmouth our president. I spent 4 years in the Air Force, 2 years in the Army National Guard. I understand his son got injured, hurt, but he's not saying a word about Bird Dog getting his head cut off over there. And then you're going to come in here and badmouth our president? No way. That's not happening here. He cannot get away with that.
Let me hear from Khizr Khan.
Well, look, I honor your service, sir. and thank you for serving our country. Criticism is a democratic tradition. If you would read our Constitution, if you would understand what democratic process is, we in democracy, ordinary citizen is entitled to criticize its leaders. We respectfully disagree with him, and we have continued to disagree with him. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have human dignity. He does, but he's not suitable for the leadership of this great nation. He has proven time after time, and the world is witness to that, that our dignity throughout the world has been maligned. Our dignity throughout the nation has been maligned. That is why his popularity is at 30% and less. So criticizing a leader of the nation is a democratic tradition. And I very much appreciate your call and your criticism. That is how democracy works. That is why we remain beacon of hope for the rest of the world, because our Constitution gives us the right to stand up. And if we do not like our leader, we criticize them. And that is the democratic tradition. That is not my tradition. I grew up in Pakistan without these rights and without these dignities. I am very much aware of what an autocrat looks like, thinks like, acts like. I have lived under two martial laws in Pakistan. And so I know very much what these freedoms mean and how we have achieved them. As I said, I read the Declaration of Independence in 1972. I have been in awe of these values and these dignities since then, and I am blessed to have them in my life now.
And let me add that you are an American citizen. I mean, this is a country of immigrants who became American citizens, or whose children became American citizens, and you obviously, from your book, take great pride in your citizenship. Let me thank the caller and go on to more of our calls. Let me go to Ty next in Indiana. Ty? Welcome.
Yes, Mr. Khan, how are you?
Fine, thank you, sir.
Hey, I was just wanting to say I served at the 82nd Airborne Division for 15 months, or for several years, but including 15 months in Iraq, including Bakuba, oddly enough. And I was just wanting to echo the sentiments, I guess, of your son when he said that, you know, even though we may not agree with the politics or even the backstory of the war, I've kind of always said that to people, is I've always believed there's two wars being fought, and that's a politician's war and the soldier's war. And I think that as soldiers, service members, part of our job, yeah, is to be somewhat apolitical. It's not, you know, it doesn't mean we're drones, but in a way, exactly, we're more worried about the individual to our left and to our right. And then I also just really appreciate your comments regarding civil discourse, and I think that's something that is lacking, because I don't always agree with everything that I've even heard from you necessarily, or NPR, or whatever it is, but at the end of the day, if we can have a civil discourse, I'm very appreciative of those comments, and I'm sorry that you and your family had to go through the uncivil discourse pre-election, so I apologize for that, but thanks for your family's sacrifice.
And thank you for your call, Ty. Good to hear from you. Your family went through not only the grief of loss of a son, but and some of the ugliness you alluded to before, but your wife stood silent. And your wife, I mean, this, in many ways, your memoir is a love story. It's a beautiful love story. But she was criticized, and you were criticized. Suddenly, you were the Muslim man not allowing your wife to speak.
I will answer that in a second, but first I want to extend my gratitude. Thank you for my brother and his call and his encouragement. We owe all of our liberties to our men and women serving in uniform today and those who have served before. It is because of them we have these liberties, and these, they keep us safe. They fight on our behalf. They keep this nation safe. So we are grateful to our men and women, those who have served before in uniform, those who are serving today, and our law enforcement that keep us safe. It is because of them that we enjoy these liberties. Yes, Ghazala, I had asked her when we were invited to come to speak, I asked her, would you say a few words? And I know because it has happened before as well. Whenever there is only mothers would know, those mothers who have lost their sons would know what a mother goes through. Whenever there is a picture of Captain Humayun Khan present and she can lay her eyes on it, she cannot compose herself. It was that I asked her, I said, say something, and I know you are capable of saying, and you have spoken before. She said, I cannot because I will fall apart and it will be a moment of indignity, so I don't want to say anything. And you can see when you pay attention to her face that she is so grief-stricken at that moment. She is fully cognizant that her son's picture is on the stage, on the screen, and they are talking so good about him and him being the best of America. And only mothers would know what a mother goes through after losing a son under such circumstances. We were blessed to have him for 27 years, and he left us with so much grace and so much dignity. And so it was her decision not to speak.
In fact, if I could, one of the things I learned in your memoir that I didn't know was your son stood as an example to you when you were asked to speak at the Democratic National Convention. You were kind of following what you thought was his ethos.
Twice we sat for 2 days not wanting to go. We were warned. We were told, do not go. This is not your cup of tea. You're private, ordinary citizens. You don't get involved with this kind of political activity and all that. For 2 days, we sat in the room where Captain Humayun Khan's portrait is hung. What would he do under these circumstances? Would he go and stand for those little kids that were reaching out to us? Are we going to be thrown out of here? But we are born here. We don't know where we will go. And I would hearten them. So under those circumstances, we sat, and that was the back and forth with Ghazala, that what would Captain Humayun Khan do?
With seconds left, we started talking about the ban. You want to say some final words about that?
We're saddened, but I think things will work out. I have faith in our values, in our constitution. It will prevail eventually through the process and all that. It will all work out.
Khizr Khan, thank you so much for being with us. And again, thank you for all your son represents and continues to represent. He'll be at GLIDE at the end, this evening, tomorrow evening, and he'll be at the Commonwealth Club in the JCC in Palo Alto tonight at 7 o'clock. The book, again, An American Family, A Memoir of Hope and Sacrifice. When we return, the subject will be sleep. Stay tuned. Dr. Matthew Walker joining us next.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.